Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Good morning, church. I'd like to say thank you very much for this opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. I know this is your church. I am part of this church. So I'm happy to be here. And I was thinking that probably I was just about to miss this Sunday, because during the last 5 days I've been on bed with fever. Even 3 hours ago, I was still shaking. But I told my wife, I'm going to go and preach. And thanks to Danny, he told me I'm going to be driving for you. So Danny is there, and he was early at home saying, let's go already for Cedro Woolley. So we are so happy to be in church today. I'd like to, before we go on, I would like to introduce you some of my, some of the members of the church in Bellingham. I'm really happy to see. I would like to invite all those members of Bellingham who are here today. Would you stand? And thank you very much. And why? The church is the church of the Lord. Something that I have to realize, that the church is the church of the Lord. I see churches everywhere. I see churches everywhere, and you know what? They it's so easy for my child, even though my youngest one is five. He's only five. It's so easy for him to recognize a church because the way the buildings are built. So when we are driving by, he said, this is the church. The shape. The cross. But let me tell you that not every church is the church of God. Not every building. And it's harder. Probably this is not my position. I am a guest. I'm going to tell you this. The church of God is directed by God. It's led by God through the Holy Spirit. And I went to Matthew chapter 16. If you want to go with me to Matthew chapter 16. In verse 13, Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus, I'm reading from the New International Version, is the easy English for me, so. In New International Version, it says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Then they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of heaven will not overcome it. Why I'm saying this today? I came to Jesus Christ when I was probably 4 or 5. There was an American missionary that your church, this church, sent to Latin America. that missionary came into that place. In that place, we hate Christians. I mean, evangelical. We call evangelicals because we were forced to be Catholics. They put religion onto us. They didn't put Christ, but they put religion onto us. They forced us to confess to a father in church. They forced us to praise to an idol. You know what I mean? They push us. They were pushing us to do a lot of stuff, religion, without Jesus Christ. So when this American person show up in that neighborhood, he was presenting something different to us. He was presenting freedom. He was presenting something different. That person was telling us, no, it's not about religion, it's about Jesus Christ. And the church is not, nobody owns the church. The church is founded in Jesus Christ. So he told me, we're going to do a deal, Ivan. You teach me how to speak your native language, because my first language is not Spanish. It's a tongue. We have a dialect there. So I was his translator, and he was paying me. He gave me a tie. He gave me a pair of shoes, a big, big shoes. But the most beautiful thing that he gave me was a Bible. And he taught me to love Jesus Christ and to love his church. And during the last 35 years, I've been missionary like him. During the last 35 years, I've been planting churches in different places, in Mexico, in Belize, in Guatemala, in Honduras, in El Salvador, in Costa Rica. I've been all those places around planting churches during the last 35 years. Suddenly something happened in my life. I was told I got cancer on my throat. I became a lawyer. I have a house, a beautiful house. I used to work for the U.S. government, for this government. I spent about 10 years working for the State Department. And then I received an offer and went to work for the Department of Justice. For 15 years, I was working for the Department of Justice in a special team as a lawyer. However, when I was told I got cancer, my life was about to change in a way that I was not ready for. I was searching, I was looking for the best hospital ever, or the best possible hospital to treat my cancer. Cancer is cancer. So I was looking then, after the research, I have two options. I have Germany, one beautiful hospital in Germany was really cheap, and the other one was Vancouver in Canada, the Vancouver hospital in Canada, cancer. There is a special hospital for cancer in Vancouver. So since I was blessed by the English vocabulary in my mouth, because when I was when I went to university, I had to take English as a second language in order to be a professional. Over there, you cannot graduate from university if you don't have a second language. So God was so good to me that the English I speak, I learned it in university about 35 years ago. But the situation is this: I moved to Canada. I sold my house, I sold everything, and we moved to Canada with my family, with my children, with everyone. And I went to the hospital, and I told God, when I'm here today, but I've been preaching the gospel, and today I feel weak. I feel weak because it's so easy when you are a pastor and you see somebody like laying down and sick, saying, don't worry, sister, don't worry, brother, be strong. God is with you. It's so easy to say to somebody anything like that. But it's difficult when you are living something, and when you are there and you know death there. It's just there. About so difficult. So I went to the hospital and I was telling God, I've been preaching the gospel. I know that the Bible is telling me the truth, and I've been doing everything in an honest way, but today I don't feel strong. So I went to the hospital, and after 3 months, my savings were gone. All of my savings were gone. I didn't know that in Canada, in order to get the benefits as a resident, you need to stay at least 6 months there. So after the 6 months, then you enjoy of the benefits for their health system. So I spent every penny. So then I was in the hospital with no hope and no money. And how about the guy? And I told my wife, I want to go out from the hospital. And she was saying, no, don't stay there. We're gonna, and you know what? She started asking for money somewhere else. She was writing to churches from Latin America. They were sending money to the hospital, trying to pay for my treatment. I told them, no, I'm gonna stop it now. And I'm gonna tell you this: it was hard for me to convince these doctors and to convince even my wife to end my treatment, because the chemo only did something to me. I lost my hair and I got really, really weak. Chemotherapy is not good for everyone. So I got really, really weak. So I went out. I wouldn't walk. I lost weight. I was on only 60 pounds. And I told my wife, just bring me to church. But this is Canada. I don't know where the churches are. Anyone. And here we go again. Everyone that we believe that has a cross. She brought me to a church building. When I go there, well, no, the church of God. And this is exactly what we need to be careful about. Not every building that says the Church of Christ. By the way, there is one name over there, the one church over there that has the last saints. What is the name in English of the? Yeah, they're saying the Church of God, Jesus Christ. It's not true. It's not true. You know what? The Church of God is only one. And it keeps the truth. It keeps God, Jesus Christ, as the center of the church. And no matter what, Jesus Christ is there. So I went into that church, and you know what? There was a lot of people jumping there. And when I went there, I went to the front. I was looking for Jesus Christ. I was praying. I didn't know who were there. I didn't care about the people. I didn't care. I was looking for Jesus Christ. And I told my wife, you know what? Take me to another church. And she brought me to another church. I couldn't find Jesus Christ in that church. I told her, bring me to another church. Take me to another church. Today I want to tell you this. This is the church of God. Not because I'm saying that. It's because He is saying that. This is my church. And how can we recognize that this is the church of God? First of all, He is moving in the church. When the church of God is not, how can I put this, it's not a business. It's a church. It is true, we do businesses, but still, it's church. It's not a community center. It is true that we do community things, but it's still a church. The church of God, the purpose of the church of God is to glorify His name. Everything we do here is to glorify His name. Not to let people happy. Sometimes we go to churches because we believe in that church, they treat me very well. It's not to let people be better. No, the purpose of the church is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other purpose. To glorify His name and to preach the gospel to others. To outreach. I was praying there in one of those churches. And finally one man came and put his hands on me and started praying. I didn't know who this person was. He was praying, Lord, bless this man. He's looking for you. Bless him. And I started feeling something. And I recognized that in that church, Jesus Christ was the center. I'm gonna tell you, I'm scared when you brought me the message. I haven't been born in America. It's obvious I haven't. I've been working with your government. And in your government, there are three different levels of information, classified information. I didn't have access to the higher level of information because that information is only for Americans. And even though I was so loyal to your government, I was not American. You know what I mean? And even though sometimes I noticed that other Americans were betraying your country, I was not American. They have the opportunity to see other information that I was not able to do or to see because I was not an American, even though I was part of the team. There were moments in which we have to divide, and only Americans were able to see some information. And the reason I'm saying this, brothers and sisters, is because when I moved to America, like now, to plant churches, I noticed that you have so many churches over here. A lot of churches. But something that we need to do, we need to keep the church as it was planned by Jesus Christ. We need to. Everything is changing. And it's beautiful. Because you know what? It's beautiful to see that church sometimes is changing. But I want to tell you this. We 10 years ago, we didn't have probably projectors. Or 20 years ago, we didn't have projectors or screens like this. Or microphones like this. And things can be added to the church. But the center, the main thing of the church is Jesus Christ. And sometimes, right now, the church is going into different directions. The church is going into different directions. And when I see this, I get scared. Because this is not the church I met. When I see churches around there, I see a lot of names. And when I see people going to churches, you know what? They are not praising God. They are not praising the Lord. They are doing something. They're having fun. And the church is not for fun. The church is to meet with God, to get Him into our hearts. I would like to ask you a question. You taught me that Jesus Christ is coming and this is my hope. And this is the reason I didn't stay today home, even though I was shaking 3 hours ago still. You taught me that Jesus Christ is coming. I want to ask you, do you believe it? Do you believe it? He's coming. I believe it with all of my heart. Pastor Pat, I know He's coming. He's coming, and He's coming soon. He's coming soon. When I see what's going on in the Middle East, when I see what's going on in America, when I see what's going on everywhere, the only thing I can see that Jesus Christ is coming. He is coming. The church needs to be waiting for Him. We need to be waiting for Jesus Christ. Every day we need to walk looking at heaven. Every day, this is the hope of the church of Christ. My hope is not that the next year we are going to be in a better place. My hope is not that the next year we are going to be in a better building. Or the next year we are going to have better things. No, my hope is that next year, Jesus probably is going to be with us. Same book of Matthew, chapter 25. Verse 1 to 5. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but didn't take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in the jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Let me tell you, church of Cedro Woolley, most churches are sleeping right now. The church is not a place to sleep. It is true, and sometimes I get tired when I go to church after work, a long day of work. Sometimes I'm like this, I'm fighting. And sometimes I'm preaching my wife, I know my wife is like this. This is normal. We are tired. I'm not talking about that. If you are tired, just sleep. It's okay. I'm not talking about that. The church is not a place to sleep. This is a place to be active. Oil. Oil. We need oil. We all have the lamps. We all have the lamps. It's so beautiful. We all have them. We all have lamps. I have mine. You have yours. But without the oil, it doesn't mean anything. We need the oil. The church needs oil and lamps. Oil and lamps. Oil and lamps. But more than that, you know, when you see the two groups, I believe that you in your life, Christian life, you have heard about this probably 50 or 100 times. But you know what? Today, Church of Cedro Woolley, we need to do something. We need to wake up. Amen? We need to wake up. Why? Those who were sleeping, you know what happened. Oil and lamp. Sometimes in the Hispanic church, don't believe that we are better than you. No. We learn from you. You were the one who gave us the message. You are the one. You send missionaries over there. So we are learning from you. We are learning from you. Don't believe. Sometimes we are getting stronger because your church is strong. So you still need to have the oil in the lamp. You still need to use the oil in the lamp. It's not just to keep at home it. It's to use it. We need to use the lamp. We need to use the oil. Everywhere you go, oil, Holy Spirit. When you see problems in church, oil, Holy Spirit. Somebody is attacking the church. Oil, Holy Spirit. And you're going to see that people is going to attack you. Because it is the church of Lord. The enemy is attacking you. But remember in Matthew 25 says that now nobody will defeat the church because it's his church. So today, my question is, are we still waiting for Jesus Christ? I'm going to ask Danny to do something. Danny, he's one of the quietest guys in church. I baptized him about a year ago. Okay, Danny, come here, please. I know you are quiet. I have noisy guys in church. But Danny, today you have to change that. I don't want you to be quiet, okay? I want you to be noisy. Can you do that? I know it's going to be difficult because I know you. Okay. Can you say, praise the Lord? Like, no. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, Danny, with that feeling, yeah, go to the door, please. Go to the door. Yeah, over there. Yeah, back to the door. He's quiet. Honestly, he's one of the quiet guys in church. Yeah. Yeah. Can you say, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
No. More.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, okay. Can you just a little bit more?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, okay. Okay, just stay there. Stay there. The church should be waiting for Jesus Christ. What happens if somebody like Danny would say, wake up. Come on, let's go out. Jesus is coming. You want to try it, Danny? Let's pretend that you are outside and then you see Jesus Christ there. Are you expecting him? How would you share that with the church? Oh, no, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. No, I don't believe you. What happened when you see a truck? Hey, a truck, be careful! But you say, hey, be careful, there is a truck there coming. This is what happened to the... Stay there, please. This is what happened to the church. We got the message, but they don't believe us. They don't believe us. You know why? And it's the truth. We got the truth. Because the way that we are saying it, with our oil, we are saying, yeah, Jesus is coming. But we are saying, yeah, Jesus is coming. I want to tell you this before we go on with Danny. I was driving on highway number 5. Suddenly, I got a problem with my tire. And I stopped and I said, oh, man, a flat tire. I have to get the tools. What's changing the tire? I don't know. There is always a moment in that when you are in problems, you get into more problems. So my tool, just something happens and just went on the middle of the street, highway number 5. So many cars, and suddenly, wow, this is a moment, I saw a trailer coming, like, probably 200 meters. So I went, I said, okay, I'm going to calculate very well. I went there, I got my tool. When I got the tool, the trailer hit me. It actually was this morning. Hit me. So, do you believe me? No. The trailer hit me, and then I move. But okay. You know what? When the Holy Spirit is with us, people can see it. Because it's power. It's power. It's power. Dynamite. Power. You pray with power. You sing with power. You sit with power. You walk with power. But the oil is important. And we are saying the others, go to my church. Why? Because Jesus is coming. That way? No. Danny, you want to say that? Hey? Jesus is coming. Ah, no. Run. Run, tell me. Jesus is coming. Ah. Gracias, Danny. Can... You know what we all need to do? Every time we come to the church, the first thing we need to remember is, remember church, Jesus is coming. Remember church, Jesus is coming. We all need to be waiting for Him. He's coming for His church. It's His church. His church. He's coming for His church. He will never, ever leave the church alone. He's coming for His church. He will never change His promise. His promise is that He will come to get His church. To take it. And we are His church. And we need to tell others. But you know what? I have a noisy guy in church. And I told him, can you do that? I said, Jesus is coming! And there was a lady who was sleeping there. About 6 months ago, the lady was sleeping there. And said, we all were like you, laughing. I was laughing. I couldn't stop. Pastor Pat, I couldn't. But you know what? This is exactly the position of the church. We don't expect Jesus. He may come today. He may come. And this is the purpose of the church. We need to expect Jesus Christ today. I go every one day per week, I go to a nursing home. I was sharing with the church in Bellingham that there is a 85 years old lady there who told me, Pastor Ivan, I want to kill myself. And I said, why? I just want to kill myself and help me to die. Can you imagine somebody asking you to help? To somebody asking that kind of help? Pastor Ivan, I want to die. And I told her, what's the problem? There is no sense. There is no sense in life for me. The 85-year-old, I told her, but how about your family? My children, they don't remember me. Look at this picture. This is my daughter. Look at this. This is my son. Look at this. She was crying. Look at this. This is, but you know what? 10 years already and they haven't come to see me. They forgot about me. And I told you, how about church? There is no church. In this place, we only get food, medication, we watch TV, and then we go to bed. The same thing every day. Every day. Pastor Ivan, help me. I want to get out from this place.
Help me. I want to. There is two things I want to do. I want to kill myself or I want to leave this place. They don't allow me to go out.
And what is the church doing for that people? This is exactly what we need to do. We need to take care of them. Waiting, but working. Waiting, but working. We start a kind of Bible study in that place. 6 months later, the same lady now is part of the worship team over there. Oil and lamp. Now she is sending letters. She has given me at least 10 letters saying, send this to this address. Maybe they are living at that address. And you know what the letters are saying? They are saying, I'm so happy with Jesus Christ, waiting for him. I hope you guys not get to know him. We all need to. There are a lot of people over there. We are so blessed with the message. We are blessed with this message. But you know what? The virgins, they need oil and lamp to use it. There is power. And you know, the church, it is true that we have to. Actually, the work of the pastor is to take care of the church and to feed the church. But you know what? As a congregation, we have a work. We have a responsibility. We need to share the gospel to others. And sometimes we believe the others are okay. Let me tell you, no one is okay without Jesus Christ. No one. No one is okay without Jesus Christ. I'm waiting for Jesus Christ. But you know, I'm preaching on Sundays. I'm preaching 4 times every Sunday. During the week, I'm preaching every day, 1 sermon every night. And the reason, because I'm waiting for Jesus Christ. And I know the cancer is killing me. I know that. It's killing me. I know that. Last night, I was shaking while my wife was sleeping. I went to the mirror. I used a lamp. And I saw my throat. I saw more damage. I was crying, not because of me, I was crying because of my wife. I didn't want her to see that. But more damage. But I know something. There is something beautiful. My medication is Jesus Christ. And this is the reason. And this is the reason I am here today. I want to share with you my hope. My hope is to see Jesus Christ, because one day when he show up, you know what? There is something we all are going to be taking. And you know what? We all are going to be transformed, changed. No more pain. His church is going to be taking. No more pain. No more crying. No more problems. No more fights. And the beautiful thing, that hope is for the church. I'm going to ask Danny one more time. Danny, you got baptized a year ago. Yeah? Why? Why are you doing so early today? I mean, come on. Danny is the quiet one. I don't understand why Danny is with me. Well, Danny, why are you like to go with me on Sundays? Because it's not only today. He goes with me. Every Sunday he was with me all day long. All day long. During the 4 services I go, he's there with me. But why? Yeah, but But why are you doing that? It's, how old are you? 19. Only 19. One Sunday. Do you have friends? Yeah. Do you have life?
Yeah.
but why do you spend all day Sunday, on Friday, and Saturday evenings in the church? Why? Why? Now, my question is, Danny, do you really believe that he's coming? Are you waiting for him? Are you waiting for him? Would you like to wake me up and say, "Hey, Pastor Evan, wake up! Jesus is coming!"
Yeah.
Say.
Yeah, wake up, Jesus is coming.
But do you think I believe you when you are saying like that?
No?
Why not? So, can you try?
Yeah.
Can you tell the congregation?
Yeah.
Sit down.
Wake up, Jesus is coming. And
amen. I have Larry. Larry, come, Larry. Larry is my helper in Bellingham. He's missionary as well. Larry, why are you helping me in Bellingham? But why? You think that he's coming?
I know he's coming.
You know? Can you tell the congregation of Bellingham, just to Bellingham? Remember,
just to
the Bellingham. Yeah, just to Bellingham.
The king is coming, but you know what? He's coming to Cedral Valley also. Praise God.
Amen. He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming, church. He's coming for us. No, don't forget that this is the purpose of the church, to glorify His name and wait for Him every day. Because one of these days, those heaven is going to be, oh man, all of His glory. All angels, Pastor Pat, all angels, all of them, all thousands and thousands of angels. And if you don't believe it, you are wasting your time. You better go to watch TV. Believe me, you are wasting your time, because we all need to be waiting for Him. Waiting for Him. The Lord, the King is coming. So you want
to
play that? Would you allow Pastor Pat to play that on the piano? Yeah? Okay. Okay.
You don't have it in your book. But it's...
Yes, the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now His face I see. Oh, the King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. Praise God. He's coming for me.
Please be seated. I'm going to invite the Church of Bellingham. When I'm saying the Church of Bellingham, I'm going to invite them to come to the front. David Brunner and Patsy, and I would invite, can you please come? Kathy, yeah, please. Please come forward.
Thank you.
try to do what God will do.